The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 6th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, the Bush administration's agricultural budget calls for $2 billion fewer dollars in farm subsidies and indicates that no new CRP enrollments will be offered until next fall. And the Secretary of Energy is considering the potential of creating an energy reserve. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, on a cold and blustery day, we'll get some tips on conserving energy from Ted Funk. He's an agricultural engineer. And don't forget that we'll hear about Market Maker a little bit later in the program. That's a U of I website. It's making a difference for farmers and Chicagoans. Just after the bottom of the hour, of course, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Taking a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade on the Mercantile Exchange on a Tuesday afternoon. March wheat settled 7.5 cents lower at $4.51. The May at $4.67, down 5.5 for the day. March corn down 5.5 at $3.96.5. The May futures at $4.08.75, down 5.75. And July contract at $4.15.5, down 5.5 cents. September's 4.01.5, they were down 4 for the day. March soybeans now, a penny and a quarter lower at 7.38.75. The May at 7.54.25, down 2.25. And July at 7.68.75, down 0.75 cents. November beans were at a penny and 0.75 lower at $7.91.25. March bean meal futures 2.13.30. They were off, or rather up 90. March bean oil down 25 cents at 30.37 for the afternoon. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby March feeder cattle at 99.02.5. They were up $1.82.5. February live cattle 82.5 cents higher at 92.47.5, and the April's at 95.45 were up 12.5 cents. February lean hogs 20 cents higher at $64.87.5. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, well, they're not available at this time, so we'll maybe check in on those when we talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, in just a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And Wayne's on the line with us on this Tuesday afternoon, fresh back from his trip to Florida. Are you dry yet from the Super Bowl, Wayne?
Hey, we finally got dried off from that. We got pretty wet at the game, though, I'll tell you. If you watched it raining on TV, it was raining harder than that in person.
Oh, I saw the high-def picture for a while on a television. Holy smokes, it looked like you were getting drenched. Did you stay dry during the whole game?
Hey, we got our good little poncho and sat underneath it most of the time. We got wet actually after the game, walking back to our bus to get back to the hotel because those ponchos only go about knee-high down, and it was raining, pouring, and pretty sloppy parking lot. So we had soaked shoes and from the knees on down. But otherwise than that, we were able to. There's a lot of fans that didn't bring ponchos, though, and they were soaked to the bone. Now, we had a young MIT grad student sitting next to me there, and I don't think he had an ounce of dry clothing on him.
Well, he was young at least, so and it wasn't too terribly. It was a pretty temperature. It couldn't have been too bad, was it?
Oh, the temperature wasn't bad at all. It'd been a beautiful day if it had just been cloudy rather than that. We got dried off a little bit when the Jets flew over in the afterburners. They were only about 10 feet above us when they went across the stadium, it seemed like. But all in all, we had an electrifying run back by Devin Hester there that just sort of fired everybody in our section up. I was mainly amongst Bear fans sitting there, and a lot of excitement there for a little while. It died on that last interception, though.
Yeah, and then some severe disappointment, I suppose, for those Bear fans at the end of the day. I assume you had just a ball, didn't you?
It's a tremendous experience, Todd. I'll tell you, the people you meet, the stars that you see around, and sometimes some sort of extremely different lifestyles than what we're used to here in the Midwest by some of the parties and the extravagance of things going on. But just the group of people, and what was really amazing this year was the way that the Colts and the Bears fans, both being Midwest people, just got along, jokingly kidding and hyping their own team, but a lot of really nice people, and got to meet and see them, and just the amount of all the NFL experience, everything like that was just wild.
I knew our culture here in the Midwest was the best in the nation, and that just proved it down there, I suppose.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about this marketplace. Speaking of down, futures in the corn pit were off 5 cents today, and the soybeans were down just a couple of pennies. What happened in the marketplace?
Well, I think that lack of any big news here happened. Just wasn't seeing much going on, and the bulls weren't being fed here today. We thought the cold weather might strengthen the markets a little bit, but said the locals in light trade were trying to push and hunt for stops, kept working lower, didn't hit any big moves or any big thing going on, but they're trying to see where they might be able to push little things over because they sense a little weakness of the corn longs here right now. The beans held up well through the day, but they sold off with the corn there towards the end of the day in light, and of course the wheat followed suit with what the corn was doing later in the day. You know, the crude oil kept things higher when we got up, you know, close to $60 at $59.99, why we thought we could hold things together, but well, we went back under 59 for a while, then we sort of saw a little weakness come in.
What is it that you'd keep an eye on? What price tag might you keep an eye on in the corn pit that would...
We don't want to go below the 390 level right now in the March, I don't think. I think we've got to be watching that fairly close. You know, as far as the Dees corn out there, probably the 385 is to just for short-term moves here in that, Todd. But, you know, all in all, 396.5 March corn, still pretty much in that $4 ballpark. You know, the last times we were down in here, that 96 level seemed to hold pretty solid. Now we'll see if it will again tomorrow. You know, a lot of snow falling, a lot of things, a lot of disappointed Bears, you know, so they had to try to make some money back from that Super Bowl money.
You bet. I know you sell crop insurance. What are the things that farmers are asking you? What have you seen from the crop insurance side at this point? The numbers won't
be finalized
yet.
Well, of course, the crop insurance was probably going to be higher this year, Todd, and I say that out of the fact that we're insuring so many more dollars per acre, and so we know there's going to be a fairly good increase in price that way. A lot of them are looking for ways as to be able to sell their stuff here now, and we are talking and thinking and recommending that, you know, look at it. If it was a good deal to have it over the last few years, it really isn't going to cost you more bushels per acre than it did before, but we are going to be able to lock in actually a good operating profit this year with some of the good revenue assurances, revenue policies, I should say, that way. So one of the things to look at, I think we are seeing people that are much more interested in locking in pre-sales of crop as we are around this $4 and close to $8 in bean marks.
How far along do you think they ought to be?
As far as sales here, like
that? For new crop.
We're in between the 10 and 20% mark as far that way, and some a little less than that, depending on the individual, Todd. But we haven't been highly aggressive as of yet.
And for what reason? You just think that there's
that
much up?
Well, I think that, you know, we think that the crop prices are trying to still try to buy acres back and forth, and basically it's been wrong if you've done much up until now. So far we've been right, but if it falls out of bed, why, we might have egg on our face.
Well, that happens from time to time. Let's hope that's not the case. How about and I know farmers are hoping that's not the case as well. Anything from the livestock side we need to discuss for the day?
Well, you know, the livestock, we seem to have quite a separation between cash and futures here that way. And, you know, this cold weather, of course, is going to be rough on the livestock. So we look for the livestock price to stay fairly firm here, of course, through this cold weather, just out of the sense that there's going to be the gains are going to be very poor during this kind of weather, and not much livestock's going to move well.
We sure appreciate you doing this every week for us on Tuesdays, and glad you're back from the Super Bowl safe and sound.
Well, you bet. Good talk to you, Todd.
All right. That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons, and of course joins Dave Dickey in the mornings on the Opening Market Report. That's at, 9:50 a.m. You can also make sure that you pick up Dave at 8:50 a.m. He talks to a different analyst each and every day than the one you might hear here in the afternoon. If you haven't ever heard that report, it's a great one. You can pick it up where? Off our website if you don't listen to the radio station at that time or can't get to WILL AM 580. You can go to willag.org. That's WILLAG.org, and you can hear the opening and pre-opening market reports. You can hear the Nooncast if you'd like, and you can also pick up most of the programming content that comes out of the Closing Market Report. It's all at willag.org. Well, up next, the experts at the University of Illinois are reminding homeowners there are two ways to conserve energy: management and investment.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You can save money this winter on your home heating bill in a couple of different ways. University of Illinois Extension engineer Ted Funk says the adjustments fall into two categories: management and investment.
And the way I like to think of it is those two can be, you can work those together, but if, for instance, there are some small things that you can do in managing what you have. You've also often heard about turning the thermostat down. The more you cut the inside temperature, you can cut your heating costs by a couple percent per degree that you turn everything down, turn the house thermostat down. So that's an example of management. And, of course, you can invest in a programmable thermostat so that you can turn the temperature down more when you leave the house. You can turn it down at night when you're asleep. Some people like to sleep in a cooler environment anyway, and then crank it back up when the family is active.
Another management example is calibrating the water heater. Funk says the dishwasher water temperature is the upper limit that should be considered.
You can run water out of a hot water faucet and put a thermometer underneath it and check it. If you don't have a dishwasher, 120 degrees is plenty warm enough. But if you run your hot water heater at too high a setting, you're just losing through standby losses, especially if that water heater is sitting down in the garage or an unconditioned space. So that would be another example of managing what you have, and it doesn't really cost anything as far as out-of-pocket expense.
On the investment side, Funk says it's best to make sure the house is sufficiently insulated. For a large portion of the Midwest, he suggests attic insulation at the R38 level. That's about 12 inches of insulation. Sidewalls should be insulated, too. And for older homes, Funk says it's fairly inexpensive to top off the blown-in insulation that's likely settled already in the walls. Crawl spaces can be insulated as well. You must be careful here. If the crawl space is filled with water pipes, it's okay to insulate the outer walls, but not underneath the floorboards. You need the heat to keep the pipes from freezing. Whatever you do in the crawl space, though, Funk cautions it's necessary to have a vapor guard, 6mm plastic on the ground. Otherwise, there is a risk of moisture coming up out of the ground and creating an environment where molds and mildews can thrive. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Well, at the bottom of the air, we'll check in with meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Our own weather forecast from AM 580 says this afternoon in far northern Indiana, cloudy skies, scattered snow showers in southern Illinois, mostly cloudy with a chance for some snow occasionally mixed with freezing rain. Elsewhere, cloudy, steady snow early, then that'll taper off from west to east. Widespread accumulations from 2 to 4 inches and isolated amounts of up to 6 inches near the I-74 corridor. Highs will range from 6 in far northern Illinois to near 40 in the far south. Tonight, cloudy skies, snow ending from the west to the east. Lows ranging from 5 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 22 in far southern Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now. He has a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns released the Bush administration's 2008 agricultural budget yesterday. It calls for $2 billion less in farm subsidies due to high commodity prices. Subsidies in fiscal year 2008 are projected at $11.7 billion. The budget also indicates that no new enrollments in the Conservation Security Program will be offered until after next September at the earliest. And it cuts spending in the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. Johans says the budget reflects USDA's priorities.
The budget continues programs vital to the protection of ag from disease and pests and human threats. It significantly increases investment in bioenergy. It fully supports food assistance programs. But as with any budget, tough choices have to be made as well to keep spending under control and to achieve the president's goals of a balanced budget. This means doing more with less and then eliminating programs that quite simply are just not getting the job done.
In unveiling USDA's Farm Bill proposal last week, Johans called for conservation spending increases of $475 million a year. But yesterday's budget announcement cut those programs by $430 million. The ag budget also calls for $9 billion in loan guarantees for clean energy programs. $4 billion would be targeted for biofuel projects, including building cellulosic ethanol plants. U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman says the department is considering whether it would be beneficial to create an energy reserve similar to the nation's emergency stockpile of oil. Bodman says the idea might have merit given the administration's announced goal of reducing gasoline use by 20% over the next decade. The Bush administration wants to double the size of its oil stockpile to 1.5 billion barrels over the next two decades. It's Food Checkout Week. Jonna Miller is with the American Farm Bureau Federation, and she has this report.
This is Food Checkout Week. It marks the time that it takes for the average American to earn enough to pay for his or her food bill for the entire year.
We don't realize, even compared to other countries, how little of our disposable income goes towards our food bill, what we provide our family to eat. And I think it's something that we as American producers need to be proud of.
American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Chair Terry Gilbert is a beef producer from Kentucky. Department of Agriculture statistics show that on average, Americans currently spend just under 10% of their disposable income on food. Jonna Miller, Washington.
Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro is holding a House Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee hearing Thursday to consider her Safe Food Act. The measure would consolidate all food safety surveillance activities and establish a Food Safety Administration. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has in previous Congresses introduced identical legislation. A news story in the McClatchy newspapers indicates the Bush administration is mulling over whether to offer a strategic partnership with Brazil to expand the use of ethanol and other biofuels in the U.S. The paper quotes sources saying U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Nicholas Burns will discuss details of the proposal when he travels to Brazil later this month. And the number of farms in the United States continues to decline, but the number of larger farms is growing. The latest numbers out of Washington, D.C. indicates there were 2.09 million farms in the U.S. last year. That's 0.4% fewer than in 2005. Total farmland decreased 780,000 acres to 932.4 million. The average farm size was 446 acres. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find the daily ag programming. You can listen to it as an MP3 file directly from the website, or sign up to have it downloaded directly to your computer as a podcast. It's at willag.org. Well, up next, the city of Chicago has an official farm forager. That's right, a farm forager is the actual title. I'll have more on how this forager connects the center of urban life in the Midwest with producers in four states. The Green City Market is a small private farmer's market in Lincoln Park near Chicago. It used to have a person simply called the forager. That position was jointly taken up with the City of Chicago. And today, Mari Coyne is the farm forager for the City of Chicago.
What we originally started doing was for the farmers market programs. There's 27 farmers markets in the City of Chicago, and obviously a tremendous amount also in the suburban area. But there are never enough farmers and to meet the demand. But what we really discovered as we were getting into this was that everyone's got their own business plan. You know, farmers, like any business person, it has to fit their lifestyle and it has to fit what their marketing and business plans are. And so you can present the idea and the opportunities, but you know, you can't make anyone do anything that's not going to work for them.
Mari Coyne says as the City of Chicago farm forager, she quickly realized that it was a large commitment for farmers to make to drive into the metropolitan area, that she needed to make it more profitable for them. She needed to find ways for farmers to make more sales.
And we wanted to couple all of those other things so that if someone's coming up for a farmer's market, they might be able to make restaurant jobs at the same time. Or maybe they've got a CSA that they can develop, that they can deliver and do a drop for that on the day that they come up for their farmer's markets, so that it becomes more economically viable for them to make the drive and the commitment to coming to Chicago. And because of all the sales opportunities we've got here, it's easy to start to fit those pieces together.
And that's what Mari Coyne does. She fits the pieces together, helping farmers find markets and retailers and users find farmers. As she works with more than 200 producers of eggs and poultry, red meats and dairy products, and fresh fruits and vegetables from the states of Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. Her job is just one way the government has been moving to directly connect farmers and their homegrown products to city dwellers. There are other avenues that do the same thing, including a program called Market Maker from the University of Illinois. It pretty much does what Mari Coyne does, and she is a big fan of the online database.
What's most important is from the buyer side, because we have buyers here in the city. And for them to be able to find those farms and those farmers and those products which they want, Market Maker helps to make that relationship and helps to make that contact. And easily, it's an indexing system, so you're able to find things on a geographical basis in a way that is going to make much more sense. You know, buyers, especially at restaurants, don't always have the luxury of making 20 calls in a day to find all these different products. They need to do things more collectively. Market Maker can give that opportunity, especially when you start looking at the producers more geographically.
Here's a for instance where Mari Coyne says Market Maker shines. It is possible to narrow a geographic area in which to find either consumers or producers. We'll work from the Chicago end of this food chain. The restaurateur could narrow his search, say, to Woodford County, Illinois. If he can locate several products from different farmers in that geographic area, it would be possible to put them all together to make one scheduled delivery instead of 5 or 10. The slick thing, says Coyne, is that model can be flipped.
I think that it has equal usability, because you also have to look at the marketing from the farmer's side and who specifically they're looking to sell to. You know, where is their niche? Who's their customer base? And that's an important part of their marketing plan. And I know there isn't always a marketing plan in place when you start selling off the farm, but it becomes more useful, especially when you're entering such a large market like Chicago. But for instance, we've got some farmers who are interested in developing a line of goat meat, for instance. Well, you know, to identify the Mexican and the Portuguese and the Muslim communities who are very interested in that, Market Maker allows those types of searches, which are much more market and product specific.
Market Maker can show a farmer where the potential customers for a product might be located. Coyne says the University of Illinois developed, available for free online database is a great product for farmers and retailers alike. It helps the City of Chicago farm forager do her job. Market Maker can be found at www.marketmaker.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension,
I'm Todd Gleason. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Snowplows have been busy all day in Illinois and Indiana, trying to keep roads at least passable. However, an operating engineer for the Illinois Department of Transportation says his crews have seen instances of careless driving around plows, and he's asking drivers to be careful. Crews expect to lay down about 600 pounds of snow-melting material for every lane mile of road. Illinois lawmakers continue to smash election spending records, thanks to the ever-increasing influence of leadership in campaigns. New campaign finance reports from the State Board of Elections show 11 legislative races in Illinois topped $1 million in spending last year. That easily breaks the previous record of 7 races set just 2 years ago. One of the most costly races was in the 52nd Senate District. There, Democratic winner Mike Frericks and Republican Judy Myers raised a combined $2.2 million. The 4 legislative leaders pumped in nearly $20 million into campaigns and accounted for more than half of the money in those most contested races. Indiana House Democrats are presenting a plan that they hope will result in significant property tax relief to homeowners and give local governments more flexibility in raising revenue. The plan would allow counties to raise local individual income taxes and taxes on some corporations by up to a percentage point. At least 60% of revenue from such tax increases would have to go toward offsetting property taxes, with the remaining 40% used to fund government pensions and public safety expenses. The proposal would also shift future growth in child welfare costs from local property tax rolls to the state. The plan wouldn't affect bills in Indiana this year, when property taxes are expected to increase by a statewide average of 15%. The Indiana State Teachers Association is voicing its opposition to full state funding for 2 new charter schools that hold most of their classes online. The 2 schools were granted charters last week by Ball State University. They would begin classes this fall. And online applications are being accepted for low-income seniors who are interested in Illinois' Illinois Cares RX program. Governor Blagojevich says the sign-up forms are put online to accommodate the growing number of seniors surfing the web. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. We're joined now by agricultural meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, the cold and the snow has arrived here in the Midwest and certainly in Champaign County. What are we in for the rest of the evening?
Well, it looks like the snow, at least on the Illinois side of things, is going to be winding down here over the next 3 or 4 hours. And we'll see the focus of the heavier snow shifting into Indiana, then into Ohio. But we still have a few hours of some pretty good snow falling right now. And, of course, that coming with some extremely cold temperatures. We've only made it to the lower teens. And it's probably at the earliest, though, maybe Friday or this weekend, before we can even think about the mid-20s for highs. And then even thinking about getting above freezing, that's not going to come until early next week.
And we'll see some below zero levels in the northwestern part of Illinois this
evening? Oh, definitely, especially with a little bit of fresh snow cover on the ground. We're going to see temperatures tonight single digits to zero in some areas. Tonight and especially tomorrow night with some clearing skies, those single digits or sub-zero will be possible.
Turn your attention to some warmer climes. Tell me about South America.
Well, they continue to get rain. Precipitation chances are going to be very good across South America. Argentina in particular are going to do well. Brazil continues to get some rain, and we are still looking at some areas maybe a little bit on the wet side, especially in some of the central growing areas. Temperatures there are hovering pretty close to normal, and we're expecting that trend to continue. So other than a few areas that may be a little wet, it really looks like favorable growing weather down there.
Have you checked in on Australia in a while? I know that they had suffered severe drought. Any recovery in subsoil moisture levels at all there?
They've had a little bit of moisture in the northern and eastern areas of Australia, but not enough to get them back to where they need to be. And right now the forecast is not very wet for many areas of Australia for the next week to 10 days.
Any place else we need to check in on before I let you go?
China pretty warm, but they'll see some colder weather moving in next week. And India, only the northern and eastern areas showers. Their dryness continues as well.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49. That for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can always listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILLAG.org. Have a good afternoon. Stay safe, stay warm, and stay off the streets if you can, and the roads too. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.